Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We're coming to the final chapter in our study, Man's Search for the Missing Puzzle Piece. We have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today, and many watching us today online, are believers in Jesus Christ, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Man's search for the missing puzzle piece has been our theme. I mentioned in the baptistry that Pascal is the one who said that man is created with a God-shaped vacuum. He spends all of his life trying to find what will fit in that piece, that missing piece in his heart that will make him happy. We have been through 11 chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes. So when it's all said and done, what is the answer? When it's all said and done, what is his conclusion? So that's what we want to look at today. Now, if we're searching for what's going to make us happy, if we don't find it in Jesus Christ, we don't find it in God, we're going to continue searching. Jonathan Clements wrote in the Wall Street Journal, he says, "We may have life, we may have liberty," he wrote, "but the pursuit of happiness isn't going so well. We constantly hanker after fancier cars and fatter paychecks, and initially such things boost our happiness, but the glow of satisfaction quickly fades, and soon we're yearning for something else." So as we look at chapter 11 and chapter 12, he summarizes in those final chapters his answer. 2 weeks ago, the title was to be bold. If you look at chapter 11, just flip back there, chapter 11, verse 1, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." It's the idea of going for it. In other words, when it says cast your bread upon the waters, it's a picture of an investor putting money on ships and product on ships to go to a foreign land. You don't know which one's going to come back, but you know that you have that opportunity, and it's about being bold in your life. Life is short, and therefore we need to be bold in our choices is the conclusion there that Solomon is telling us. He says to do it informed. We are to be bold, but we're to do it under the wisdom of God. Hey, it's wonderful to just to emphasize that today. At the end of our service, we're going to pray for a sweet young couple, Andrew and Alexa Hudson. This couple, they came here to college. They met each other here in Gainesville. They got married here at our church. They have served the Lord in this place, and they are making a bold move. You say, what do you mean they're making a bold move? Let me tell you what they're doing. They are uprooting their lives and moving to San Diego, California to help with the church plant. They're making a bold move. They are doing something bold. I don't know what your gifts are. You know, maybe you are a teacher. Could you consider being in a place, going to a place to leverage that giftedness to be used of God? Use it where you are right now. We recently had one of our teachers invite some folks to come here, and they came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, you know, be bold in the way you leverage your life for the gospel. Maybe you're going to be an engineer. Maybe you're going to be a doctor. Maybe you are a lawyer. Whatever the case may be, whatever giftedness God has given you, then be bold in your living that out, in your living out for Jesus Christ. So that is one of the things that he says. Last week, Kurt Shiver, who, by the way, did a great job. Thank you, Kurt, for preaching last week. He talked about be joyful. Look at chapter 11, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth." Do you know that many times in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon challenges us to rejoice in the life that God has given us? As a matter of fact, go back to chapter 2. Look at this quickly. Chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 24. This is Ecclesiastes 2, 24. "Nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work. He gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give it to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind." So he's telling us over and over again, I think this is the seventh time in chapter 11, the passage that Kurt preached on last week, that he tells his people to rejoice. So we are to be bold. We are to be bold. We are to be joyful. And then today's emphasis is we are to be godly. Be godly during the search. Now, I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I want to read verses 1 through 8. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy of God's Word. This is Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well." Verse 7. "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." Verse 8. "Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity." So he is telling us here to remember. Look at verse 1 once again. I have to flip my page to get back to verse 1. Verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." The word "remember" there means to act decisively. It means to act decisively on behalf of someone. In other words, what he is saying is we are to act decisively as it relates to God. And I would just summarize it this way: put God first. It is Solomon's version of Matthew 6:33 that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It's really a word to remember, is a word about priority. And that's why we say be godly. We know that in our strength we can't be godly. How do we do that in the New Testament way? We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because at that moment, Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness. All right? And so we have his righteousness. So we are making a decisive decision to put the Lord first in our life. He says, "Remember your Creator." Is this something I'm doing? I was trying to just keep going. I mean, I had it, man, I was gritting down. I said, I'm going to win against this noise. Just shut the whole thing down and I'll holler, you know. But I guess it won't go out on anything. But anyway, all right. I'm going to let them work on it. I'm just going to keep going. Are y'all good with that?
Yeah.
All right. So he says, remember, if it's something I'm doing, just come tell me. Okay. Okay. It's a demon is what it is. Lord, deliver us. All right. All right. Now, folks, it's going to take extra effort on my part and extra effort on your part to focus here, okay? So, verse 1, remember your Creator. Remember, he's saying this, that God is our Creator. Can I tell you this? The Lord knows more about us the Master. The Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. So we are to remember, we are to make a decisive decision. I guess you could say it that way. We are to be decisive about God and where the priority that He has in our life, where it lies. And it says, remember your Creator. Remember that He knows what is best for you. And then it says this, before the difficult days come. Some of the passages say before the evil days come. What that means is before life passes you by, before the day of death comes, before you get older. Now, I'm fighting it. I'm fighting old age. I went running yesterday. Couldn't hardly get up this morning. But I've been studying this passage, and I'm determined that I'm going to fight it. But the truth is, it's coming. I remember when I first came here, we had a college fellowship out here, and I just came to me, Jacob Bryan. That was one of our students, right? Back then in the day. Jacob Bryan, right? Anybody remember Jacob Bryan? Raise your hand. Like I was saying, it wasn't Jacob Bryan that was there that day. But anyway, we played pickup football out there. And I don't know, Jeffrey Patterson may have been out there in those days, but we were, and Justin and some of them, but they were playing football, and they said, we want to play tackle. I said, I'm good with that. Anyway, Jacob Bryan took a hand off. And, of course, you know, I'm in my late 40s, you know, but I'm thinking, man, I can take these guys. And so he comes around the thing, and I mean, I hit him and just flattened him. And they said, whoa. Then I said, whoa. Because I was hurting. Recently, we went to a youth camp, and I did something that I used to do for years. I got out on an inner tube, and I laid on that thing flat, and I said, go! Well, a bunch of our teenagers were in the boat, and they were bribing the driver, and they were saying, throw him off of this. And so they were spinning. I mean, they had that thing. It was a ski nautique. They had that thing floored at Lake Swan Camp. And they took a hard left. And, man, I went out, and I was determined I was going to stay on that tube. And so I kept my foot out as wide as I could to ballast myself, you know, and everything. And then he would turn the other way, and it would just shoot me over the wake. You know how that happens like that? Anyway, in the midst of it all, when at one point it was pulling so hard, it pulled out my arm out of my socket, but I didn't let them know it. The evil days are coming. The difficult days are coming, and he's saying, look, while there's hope, while there's time, be godly. Let's do everything we can do with the energy God has given us in this church family to get the gospel to the world. What else would we want to stand before the Lord with than to say, Lord, we did everything we know to do. We leveraged all of our influence. We leveraged all of our resources to get the gospel to the world. We are to be bold. We're to be joyful while we do it. You say, you try to tell funny things, and, well, listen, you'd forgive me you'd forgive me if you knew what I didn't tell, okay? So just, I love realizing that the Christian life is joyful. But then we are to be godly, and in that sense, we are to make we are to be decisive about God. And that's the point that he's making, all right? So, he says, before the difficult days come. Now, there are two main things I want to say here, and we'll be done. The first one is this: put God first. Time is running out. In verses 2 through 5, we see some physical challenges that happen in our life. It says, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened. You know, when you're a young person, light is bright. And all of a sudden it says, you know, while you're young, the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. It's kind of a picture of gloom. Now, I want to say this. Some have even said this is mental aging. There's a facet of mental aging. Maybe our mind's not quite as sharp as it used to be. It says there, while it's not darkened, okay? The idea is that later in life, it may seem more darkened in our life. It's the idea of gloomy. It's the idea of perhaps even depression. You know, many of God's people through the years that have been used greatly of God, C.H. Spurgeon was greatly depressed, and God used him mightily, but he wrestled with that as time went on. And these are the things, these are the realities of life. And so it says, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In other words, it rains, and all of a sudden it brightens up, all right? And then in verse 3, we see more of things that will yield to physical impairment and physical problems. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, well, in Scripture, the house is used as a way to describe our lives, our bodies, okay? And the keepers of the house are our hands. And sometimes as life goes on, it says the keepers of the house tremble. It's referring to trembling hands. And the strong men bow down. Our knees become weak, okay? And then it says, when the grinders cease because they are few. That's talking about your teeth. You got all your teeth? Sometimes it may take a little longer. Now, y'all are grinning thinking that's not going to happen to me. Well, you watch out. It may take a little longer to chew, because you got to get it on the right side, and you got to get it right on top of where there's a couple of them that can grind it. That's what it's talking about there. It says, where the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. It's the eyes growing dim. Verse 4, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, it's dealing with our hearing. Sometimes our hearing begins to fade. Okay? Verse 4, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, that is the picture of a lack of sleep. Hey, I have noticed this. When I was doing youth work, Chris, I could sleep anywhere. I mean, they used to joke with me. We used to take buses places, you know. I could sleep when I was driving. Just kidding. Not really. I didn't do that. But if someone else was driving, just sitting up in a bus, man, to me now, that's the most uncomfortable thing in the world. But I could take a pillow and put it there, and I could sleep. They used to tell me, they'd say, man, you can sleep anywhere. I think the Lord just gifted me that working with young people. I don't know if that's with you, Chris. But you know, as I get a little bit older, I hear noises. Things get on my mind. And you wake up. You hear that noise. And here, the Scripture is talking about when one rises at the sound of a bird. The little bird goes, you wake up, and you can't go back to sleep. So this is some of the things that happen. And it says, and all the daughters of music are brought low. You can't hear the music quite as good as you could. Verse 5, and they are afraid of heights and of terrors in the way. The fear of venturing out. The fear of venturing out. Recently, Kelly and I drove through downtown Atlanta, and man, I'm telling all this on me. This is not good. But anyway, No, I decided, you know what, I'm just gonna floor it and go with the crowd here. I'm in downtown Atlanta, man. That thing was moving. And I mean, they had like 16 lanes in some places, 8 and 8, and it was going crazy. But you know, I can see how sometimes when you get a little bit older, you say, you know, I'm gonna take a back way. Because there's that fear of venturing out. The terror's in the way in verse 5. And then it says, when the almond tree blossoms, and almond blossoms are bright and they're white, and it's a picture of gray hair. The grasshopper is a burden. The grasshopper is slowing down. You know, grasshoppers, pew, choo, choo. They jump away, but, you know, maybe the grasshoppers are slowing down. This is a picture of aging, okay? They're slowing down. And desire fails. This is a picture of appetite slowing down. Some have even said that the sexual drive is slowing down, you know, as you get older. Now, I heard Chuck Swindoll preaching on this, and he said, thank the Lord, this is at the end of the list, is what he said. That was supposed to be funny, by the way, but anyway. All right. And then it says, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. In other words, after all this begins to happen, death comes. So, what is the thrust of this passage? You know what it is? It's remember God. Put God first because time is running out. Do it now. I said earlier in a message, what's the best time to plant a fruit tree? 20 years ago. What's the second best time? Today. You haven't been serving the Lord all of your life. You know what you can do? You can start today. You are to put God first because time is running out. I can't believe that, 94, 2004, 2014. So that's, okay, 26 years ago, my mom passed away. I can't believe it's been that long, Kelly. 1994, my mom passed away. She was 76 years old. Now, I've done lots of funerals, and I've done them for brand new babies, and I've done them for people that are in their 90s. I've never done one for anybody over 100. Come close. So people pass away at all ages, but my mother happened to be 76 years of age. If you're 25 in a few days, don't get depressed here. But if you're 25, a little over 25, based upon my mom's age, you've lived a third of your whole life. Let me tell you this. If you're 19, you've lived a fourth. By the way, did you watch that Alabama-Georgia game last night? Man, Georgia came on strong in the first quarter, but you know what? There's four quarters in a ball game. Alabama shut them down in the whole second half. You know why? There's more quarters to play. Now listen, if you're based upon my mother's age at death, if you're 19, you've done the whole first quarter. Put God first because time is running out. Let me tell you this, if you're 38, you're at halftime. I'm not going to do it for me, but I've thought about it. I've thought about it. We have been given one of the greatest gifts that could be given anyone. The God creator of the universe has given us some hints in life. Remember your creator while you can. Do it now. Do something for God. Be bold now. You've thought about being joyful. You've thought about being joyful. Do it now. Be joyful. Go get some ice cream. Live your life for God with all your might. God has given us a great gift. Because let me tell you what the typical idea is. Oh, I'm 19 years old, man. I'm just getting started. And I know that those of you that are real young, our teenagers and others, you know, you're thinking, yeah, I've heard that. And can I tell you this? I heard it. Life just goes by so fast. I'm sitting there thinking, when is summer coming so I can get out of school? And everybody said, life just goes by so fast. Can I tell you this? It's amazing. I cannot believe my baby boy is 23 years of age. I remember just like yesterday going up to Baptist Hospital and Kelly delivering little Jerry. What joy. But where has the time gone? Let me just say, you have been given a great gift. Time is short. This section of Ecclesiastes is the book of James. It's like the book of James from the Old Testament. James says, life is but a vapor. If we're going to do something, we better do it now. So, number one, put God first. Time is running out. Number two, put God first. You have time now. Put God first. You have time now. Look at verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. Now, this is a picture of a light on a cord. And the light is supplying light to those that are in the home. And yet, you better remember your Creator before that cord breaks and the lamp falls to the ground and shatters and it no longer gives any light. So a light on a cord is pictured there. Or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain. In other words, the pitcher that you have that's going to give the life-giving water is all of a sudden shattered. Or the pulley that brings the pitcher up to the from the well busts, and the life-giving water is gone. This is a picture of death. We need to realize, let's put God first. Let's remember our Creator. Let's be decisive. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be decisive about God in our life, and let's do it before the lamp breaks, which is a picture of death. Let's do it before the water is gone, which is a picture of death. And then look at verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. One day we will face the Lord. Now here are some applications that I want to give you, and I'll be done. Number one. If you are a non-believer in Jesus Christ, maybe you're contemplating giving your life to Jesus Christ. Put God first. You need to give your life to Jesus. Respond to the gospel. What is stopping you? Is it your pride? Is it your pride to say, oh, well, everybody thinks I'm already a Christian. I go to church. Is that really worth when the pitcher breaks and you face Almighty God, you do not know Him? Be decisive about your relationship to God. Now is the time to prepare for eternity. Now is the time to do that. So that's number one application. Number two, if you're a believer, ask yourself, is my life or is this choice I'm making decisive for God or is it decisive for myself? You need to ask yourself when you face a dilemma, is your choice that you are making, is it being decisive for God? Are you putting God first, making Him the priority, or are you putting yourself first? Does this choice reveal my priority for God or not? You know, the truth is we're learning, as we study this book, we're learning that God designed me and God designed you to be empty apart from Him. You'll never find that joy you're looking for until you give your life to Jesus Christ. Augustine put it this way. He says, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. That's the way Augustine put it. And then the third thing I would say is this. Am I influencing others to make a priority of God in their lives? Am I a part of the process of encouraging others to make a priority of God in their lives? If you don't determine to be godly, to prioritize the Lord in your life, then what will happen is verse 8. Look at verse 8 in our passage. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. You say, oh, it's too late for me. Now, if you're a person and you say, you know what, I've just got some living to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to put my faith in Christ because I believe Jesus is going to take something away from me I really want. Let me tell you something. That is a lie from the devil. You don't really start living till you give your life to Jesus. And what faith it takes for a young person who has not experienced everything to say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus, I'm going to live for Him all of my life. It takes great faith, and I praise God for that kind of faith. But somebody may say, you know, it's too late for me. I've messed up. I haven't lived like I'm supposed to. Maybe you feel guilt. Maybe you feel bitterness. Maybe the hand you were dealt in your mind was not a good hand, and you're angry because you missed some opportunities. Maybe you have fear about that. I encourage you, it's never too late. One of my greatest mentors was an older man who was my Sunday school teacher when I was in high school. And Brother Marshall would stand at the board, and he would talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, of course, we were in the class as high school students. We thought, man, he's an old guy. He probably really wasn't all that old at the time, but he thought he's an old guy. And he would be up there teaching. But he wasn't necessarily a peer of mine. He was an older guy, but I tell you, God used that man. He would get up there and he'd talk about Jesus Christ. And whenever he did, his lip would quiver because it became so real to him that Jesus was so real, and he wanted us to have a relationship with Jesus, and tears would well up in his eyes as he talked about the Lord. I've told you about my friend Larry May, who came to Christ later in life, and he kept volunteering to go to youth camp. Man, he was in his 60s and 70s, and he would go to youth camp every year and have 15 high school guys that he would have to corral. I said, Larry, why are you doing this? He said, man, because I've missed so many years, I want to make up for it. I want to serve the Lord. It's never too late to serve the Lord. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people? He cried. Who starts the bidding for me? $1. $1, do I hear two? $2. Who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it aloft with its bow. $1,000. $1,000, do I hear two? $2,000. Who makes it three? $3,000. $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. You say, well, maybe it's too late. You know what? It's not. We are to serve the Lord. We are to put God first because there's time now. I'd like us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you're here and you'd say to me, Pastor Calvin, I need to put my hand in the hand of God. I need to let the Master have control of my life. No matter what age you are, the Scripture says to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. While there's time, trust in Him.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.